Father, give your word to us this morning. It is the bread of life which we eat and we never hunger anymore. Thank you, Lord, for the praise. Thank you for your presence. I pray that, Lord, there will be no heart that will feel the Lord is here today and we did not know it. You created the whole universe, Father, and every day, the rising of the sun, the setting of it, shows forth your beauty, your might, your glory. I pray, Father, that our hearts be warmed by your presence. Without this presence, we, O Lord, can do nothing. Thank you, Father. Please explain your word as it should be. As it should be. Lord, remove our suppositions, our assumptions, the familiarity that so often prevents a heart from receiving things from you. Please remove it. Lord, that you may be honored in our midst, that before our eyes, our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified and set forth as crucified for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. I'd like again to welcome everybody. Are you guys Howard students? Wow, there's a lot of evangelism going on in Howard. It's nice to have you guys there. This is not your first time here, I know, but this is your first time, both of you. What are your names? Kato and who? Kato Chiku, okay. And Otito. Okay, Kato and Otito. Oh, they are your brothers. Are you triplets? No, you guys. If both of you are twins, oh, great. Yeah, I was close. It's great. Well, welcome this morning. And Shehi has been boasting. I'm sure these are Shehi's parents, right? He's been boasting about his mom and his dad coming. I thank God that some of us still have our parents. It's nice to have you. It's such a delight to have you here. And he's been a delight here as well. Welcome. I hope you enjoy your stay while here. Praise the Lord. You know, when you have a baby, you lose your names, you know. Now you're Kaysen's mom and dad. You no longer have names. Nice to have you guys there. You bless the Lord. Adere Sola. Twice. I'm seeing you twice in the same year. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Who else is? Baratunde. He that has forsaken us. It's nice to have you. Oh, well, yeah, there are some other Howard students there. I know you are new. You are new. What is your name? Oyelade. It's nice to have you. I know. What's your name? Ifioma. Isioma. What does Isioma mean? The context of it. What's your context for your name? Luck. Blessings. Okay, praise the Lord. And what's your name? Vanessa. It's nice. What does it mean? I'm just kidding. Well, we just bless the Lord for today. And I hope we all take the chance, for those of us who are moms are still here, but all of us have mom figures. So I wonder to please take the time to give them a call today and just think it's just wonderful what our mothers do. And we just like to ask our mothers to stand up for a moment. Mothers and aunties, if you consider yourself an auntie and you can look at Moradike, that means a lot of you will qualify. Because all of you are literally aunties to Moradike. Stand up, right? You can buy Moradike popcorn, right? So stand up. And I'll have to ask, let me ask Borabumi to please pray for all of you. We thank the Lord. Actually, let me ask you, Ibrahim, where are you? Ibrahim.
So come and pray for the mothers, aunties, sisters.
Father, I come to you, Covenant Brother Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for all the mothers. Thank you for bringing us all together this day. God, I ask that you bless their hearts, bless their minds, bless their bodies, Father. Because, Father, without these mothers here, most children won't get to even know of you, Father. Thank you for the mothers for guiding their children here. Because some people don't even have mothers and fathers, but those for those people, you come and meet them yourselves. But Father, I want to thank you for the mothers that guide their children. Father, may you continue to bless their lives. May peace, prosperity, and abundance reach their lives, Father. May you continue to shine your light on them. And may your light not just shine on them, may it shine through them, Father. May they continue to show love to everybody, and may we all continue to show love to them. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We have been talking about that topic in our faith, that it's essential for our faith, but which has almost been forgotten. When our Lord Jesus Christ departed, he gave us Christians one commandment: to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And he said to his disciples, all those things that I've spoken into your ears, it is time for you to go to the housetops and make them known. As we come into Jesus, the one thing that God has asked us to do is to let the rest of the world know how much he loves us. That we should, by us, he wants to make the same salvation known to others. And when we started this series, there was something I said when I was growing up, was very common. You would often find someone who would ask you the question, are you born again? It's a very simple question. And this question came, as we read, from John chapter 3, when the Lord told a very religious man that, listen, it's not about religion. It's not about what you can bring to the table. I have come to bring you something. And we read from Romans chapter 5 that you couldn't do yourself. You must be born again. And we've been talking about it and asking ourselves, we are no longer asking whether you're a Christian. Every government form has a particular, not every, many, section that will say, what is your religion? And anybody can check Christianity. Thank you, ma'am. But what Jesus is asking each one of us this morning, and what he wants you to ask on his behalf to souls that you encounter, is, have you encountered me? Have you encountered the Savior? Are you born again? Can you say, once I was lost, now I am found. Once I was blind, now I can see. Are you born again? And at the onset of Pentecostalism, maybe earlier, it became even popular to be born again. There was a time that it wasn't. The older Christians here would testify that there was a time that, if you dare say, in fact, many people in my generation, we were raised in Christian churches. And we went to church. They took us to Sunday school. They taught us Bible memory verses. We sang all the songs. Jesus loves the little. In case the YouTube generation thinks that song came from their generation. No, I sang my head, my shoulders, my knees, my toes, my head, my shoulders, my knees, my toes, my head, my shoulders, my knees, my, they all belong to Jesus. I sang it before I knew what it meant for anything to belong to Jesus. But there's something beyond that. There's something beyond, do you go to church? Brabumi has often said he was an altar boy. But it was like a devil then in his heart. No, I didn't say that. I said, I'm declaring that. Because he told me that people will want to preach to you and you would hate on them and that kind of thing. That wasn't the spirit of the Lord. But now he's born again. Now he's preaching the gospel. Something changed. The question we need to ask when people tell us they are Christians We need to probe a little bit deeper and say, but are you born again? Have you been to Jesus for that cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's a different thing to be a churchgoer, to be religious, and to be born again. Sometimes, maybe, I don't know, I won't put a date to it, but the devil knew this. Once it was dangerous to say you are a Christian, in the time of the apostles, to say you are a Christian could cost you your life. The devil knew he was losing that battle. So he made it popular. He made it okay to be a Christian, as long as you are not a real Christian. And our Lord predicted this when he said in John 4:24, that the time is coming and the time is now when the true worshiper must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So he made the word, are you a Christian, ordinary. So by the power of the Spirit, Christians crafted, remember John 3. And I remember before I became born again, the popular thing was, are you born again? Because they already knew that if they asked you if you're a Christian, because your parents took you to church, you would say yes. So when they asked me if I was born again, I said no, because it was a shameful thing. Just like it used to be a shameful thing to be a Christian, it was now a shameful thing to be born again, and I wasn't. But in my heart, I wanted to be. And by the grace of God, I understood the mercy of God in Christ, and I became born again. And all of my college friends can testify that the Wale they used to know, they know that Wale no more till today. The things I used to do, I do them no more. But the things I used to do, I do them no more. The lies I used to tell, I tell them no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. Great change since I'm born. There's a great change since I'm born. Oh, there's a great change since I'm born. Oh, there's a great change since I'm born again. The books I used to read, I read them no more. The ludlum I used to read, I read it no more. The, what was it? Nick Carter I used to read, I read them no more. The, what are the useless books? There was one series then. Eh? Emmanuel I used to, I don't know, there were two. I read them no more. The Evan Wallace I used to read, I read them no more. There's a, okay, there's a, the movies I used to watch, I watch them no more. We have to be able to sing this as well. That one is very hard for a lot of us. The movies I used to watch. Yes, the movies I used to watch for Jesus. There's a, oh, 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 great change. There's a, we'll soon close, don't worry. Since I'm gone again, there's a change since I'm born again. Cigarette I used to smoke, I smoke it no more. The cigarette I used to smoke, I smoke them no more. Yes, the cigarettes I used to smoke, I feel them no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. The music I used to listen to, I hear them no more. The music I used to hear, them no more. The music I used to hear, I hear them. Is there a great change since you are born again? Tell me, is there a great change since you are born again? Is there a great change since I'm born again? Is there a great change since you are born again? Is there a great change since you are born again? So, you know, the factor that we need to change, Satan removed it. But a sign, as we've been learning, that we're a new creature is that things change. We don't do things the way we used to anymore. And the world will abuse us for it. The world will do all kinds to us. But the hallmark of being born again is that there's a great change since you are born again. The attitudes, the character I used to have, because of Jesus, things have changed. So for the past few weeks, we've been treating being born again and signs that we are born again, because nobody talks about it anymore. And Satan is perfectly okay with us preaching sermons and teaching great sounding philosophical, theological truths, as long as we don't demand change. What did I say? Satan is perfectly comfortable with theology without impact. You can know all the secrets of grace, all the secrets of love, all the secrets of faith, as long as it has no impact in your life. Satan is fine. It's a state of ignorance. But a sign of being born again is that things change. If any man be in Christ, is a what? It's not a modified creature. It's brand new. He's born of God. And we have been studying that all of this time. Great change. Last week, the change we studied, I hope you read the passages, 1 John 2:11, is loving one another. There, the apostle, Elder John particularly faced this topic that we are talking of. Because I think, and if you notice, the Elder John was a man of very few words. He wasn't eloquent like Paul. He would not, you know, he did not have the prose of David. Or I don't even think he had a succinct, incisive theology of Peter. It was as if this man, if you read the whole of 1 John in his short epistles especially, it was as though he had something on his mind that he had to tell the church. And I thank God that he was not eloquent. Because, you know, when you listen to blunt, ineloquent people, they go straight to the point. And we have been pointing out that his concern, the burden on his heart, is that, okay, I see that the spreading of the gospel is going very well, but I see some things there, and I want to call your attention to them. Then he begins to say words like, if you say that you live in God, that you are righteous, and you do not love your brothers, it is a lie. You are not really righteous. Oh, who is the man that values such bluntness here? Don't beat around the bush. That's the method of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just give me the way it is. That was how Jesus started teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. The man started with, oh, you're such a wonderful person. Nobody can do the things that you have done. I'm sure if Christ had given him time, he would have given Christ the exposition of the prophet. He was a learned man. And Christ just cut to the chase. He said, listen, you must be born again. Keep quiet. You must be born again. And then the man started stuttering. What do you mean I must be born again? Does it mean I have to go into my mother's stomach and come out again? Listen to me. Listen to me. You must be born again. John was like that. By this time, the time the letters were written, the gospel has spread. And John wasn't the big one that went all over the place, but he was one of those who walked with Jesus. And he began to say, listen, everybody is saying they are righteous. But look, if you say you are righteous and you walk in darkness, then you are a liar. I mean, we pointed out the lie of 1 John. And I wonder what John will have to say in our generation. So he wanted to teach the church what it means to be a true worshiper, to go beyond just words. Last week, we dwell upon love. He said it's so important. He said it's impossible for you to love this, as we sing to him, to love a God who you do not see, if the people we see, our brothers and sisters, we do not love them. Don't you appreciate that bluntness? God is love. He that walks in love is of God. He said, he that abides in darkness does not have God. He said, neither he that does not love his brothers. If you read, we have a series of verses there. John 14:21, John 15:14. He's called the apostle of our love. He stopped and he kept telling us. And we gave a series of examples last week. I mean, we should go beyond theology. It's as simple as this. And I think the Lord simplified it. Here's Christianity. Here's how you know you're growing in Christ. The Lord said, if you have two coats and someone needs one, give it to them. It's as simple as that. And my heart bled because I don't know how many times in churches we gather people for prayer meeting And the things they are praying for is right in the church account. And we say, the Lord bless you. It's right there. The church could write a check. What they are praying for could be settled by the writing of a check in prayer meetings all over the world. And Christ clearly said, this is not love. If someone needs something, I have in your pockets, I don't even say, go away, I'll give you tomorrow. Do it right there. Wouldn't it be amazing if we can solve with money the things that can be solved with money, so that everybody will be free for the things that cannot be solved with money? Love. God is love. We dwell in this. As you seek to grow in Jesus, you must practice love. You cannot practice love if you are full of yourself. Love will test ego. Love will test pride. And we can refer to 1 Corinthians 13. Every time I read that chapter, something convicts me in it. Patient, kind. It's not puffed up. Suffereth long. Endures all things. Since we cannot say that we live in Jesus and we do not love. And we dwelt with that. So for the few minutes we have, we go to the next thing here. Let's go. Someone should please read from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. These are all the commandments from 1 John, in which we will know that we are living a life of Jesus Christ. These are things that used to be very popular, by the way. You couldn't be a Christian and go through, is it new believers class, even old believers class, and not hear this in a year. These were the anthems, the banner of Christianity. But I think deliberately, Satan is making us Christians forget it. And we must not forget the ancient landmarks that our fathers have set. Okay, please.
1 John 2, from 15 to 18?
Please, 17.
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever.
Praise the Lord. One of the saddest things, and we need to watch and pray in Christianity today, is that unknowingly, the world is transforming us in its own image. Whereas Jesus said that we are supposed to go and be the light to the world. We should be the conscience. You know, the way the Lord described us, he described us as a city that is set on a hill, and it cannot but shine its light to the world. The world should be threatened by us as Christians. The world should be tested by us. We should be the light dissipating the glory of the Lord Jesus. But Satan walking is making us love the world. I think there's a verse that says, the Gentiles seek after these things. I think it's in Galatians, right? 4 says, and we should not. Over these, I think it was the Lord Jesus Christ that said, actually, he said, what will we eat, what will we drink, how will we be clothed? All these do the Gentiles seek after. But our Heavenly Father knows we have need of these things. Examine your walk, those of us that are born again. Help us not to, let us not conform to the world. Romans 12, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said that is the only way that we can prove that which is the good, perfect, and acceptable. That thing gets me. When I read that verse, it gets me. And it gets me how specific the apostles are. You know how, I don't think it's the Bible that said it. It's not in the Bible. But I like it. He says the devil is in the details. Honestly, the devil is in the details of the Bible. That you may prove perfect, acceptable will of God. And the only way to do it, because Satan will not rest. Satan wants us. is not to be what? Conformed to the world, but be transformed. Love not the world or the things of this world. The things of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know what that means? We don't need to break it down. Everybody here knows the pride, the lust. Let's all be, you know, which one of us would not like to be celebrated, accepted, glorified? They were born with such natural instincts. But the way of the Lord Jesus Christ is the way of the kingdom. It's the way of sacrifice. The world calls us to receive the glory, to receive the recognition. Jesus calls us to be the last among the brethren. It's as if the things of the kingdom are always opposite to the things of the world. That's why in those days they counted the cost. It wasn't easy to be a Christian, because they understood that Jesus was calling them to something. Love not the world. Last week we ended, and I think I'll just stop there because I don't want to keep us long. They are serious. I wanted us to go into the next one, which is abiding in Christ. Because those of some of us who are born again, we need to know how to abide in Jesus. What does that mean? Jesus does not just call us to him. He also calls us to stay in him, to be protected by him, to remain in him. But that's for next week. I'll just stop on this week. As I was watching, I said this regarding loving the world, and I'm going to say it again this week. I was watching the coronation of King Charles. I saw the royalists rejoicing. And I was wondering, do we Christians celebrate our Jesus the way the world celebrates its king? The pomp, the pageantry. After all, he's the King of Kings, Isaiah 9. Everything we need, everything that the world has tried to duplicate, is represented by faith in Christ our Redeemer. Is it the glory of royalty that thrills the world? Well, we have the Prince of Peace as our royalty. Think about it. The things of the Lord are not things we see. They are things of faith. Remember, you know how often the Bible talks about faith and hope? If we look at the Lord Jesus with the eye of faith, you will see that all the excellence of beauty is reposed in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly why he set up the thrones of the world, that in them we may see a figure of his throne, which lasts forevermore. He has called us to a superior empire, and we're princes and kings in this empire. I know it does not yet appear so, but how many people appear that know that when Jesus appears, we who are in him are royalty. Believe this truth, my brothers. If this is not true, honestly, the folks that are drove by this morning on the golf course in the University of Maryland, they are better than us, because we are totally wasting our time. But because it's true, we can rejoice. I tell you, if you look upon the Lamb, my Savior Jesus, this morning, he has not called us in vain. If you dedicate your life to him, if you dedicate your sin and put it in his hands, if you dedicate your treasures at his foot, if you make up your mind to pursue him, you have an empire to inherit, a throne, by the promise of the Lord who can never lie. That is why I am here today. These things are not a lie. The disciples will say, listen, the things we have seen, the things we have touched, the things we received by revelation, we reveal unto you. We did not come to you telling you fables and lies and stories. Are you cool? This gospel that you are hearing is the most precious gift of God to man. We said last week, the Lord bequeath to some a throne that perishes. Some excellence in sports, they become stars. They have millions before they even turn the age of 30. Some football, soccer, anything. Some can dance. Some are stars. They can sing like Whitney Houston. They have the voice of angels on earth. What is it that we treasure? Some have the mind of Einstein. But the gift that he gave to you in Jesus is superior to all of that. It is our job to tell the world the riches of God in Christ. We should not emulate the world. We have he that created the world in our heart. We needn't emulate stars. We have the brighter morning stars, our Lord. The wisdom of God, the spirit of counsel and understanding of wisdom is within you. A free gift from the God from on high. The best and the brightest came in a manger for you and I. Ah, my brothers, don't let this be a story to you. Oh, my sisters, please feel the love of God in your heart. See the Lord reaching out to grab the heartstrings. Hear the sound of eternity. These words, the Bible says, they are true. Remove from yourself all of the arrangements, all of the cut off the influence of religion from you and see the love of God that he has proven to you. You and I stand here by the love of God. There are some who are facing cancer diagnosis at this period and God still loves them. You cannot deny the love of God as you stand there unless you can explain to me how you just took the breath that you took without thinking. But all of this will pass. He will call us one day to give an account. It will be very short. Who have you loved? The gift I gave you, have you used it for me? May the Lord bless us and keep us. Brethren, let's not just be Christians. Let us be like the apostles who are ready to follow Jesus, despite the fact that the entire nation was not ready. In different sermons, the Holy Spirit will lead us to books, will lead us to teachers who will teach us how to do it effectively. My job here is to challenge you that there is more in Jesus. That precious gift that you have found, don't let Satan take it from you. Live in the love of God. As you go to churches, attend religious events, I want you to know in your heart that God is calling you to higher things. Let's close with this song. I don't know if we have it. We're going higher. Yes, we are. We're going higher. Let's rise up and sing it together. Someday. We're going higher. Yes, we are. Going with Jesus to stay. We're going above the shadows into the presence of God. Into the presence of Jesus. We are going higher someday. Hallelujah. We are going higher. Yes, yes, we are, brothers and sisters. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, God.
We are going higher.
Father, help us. Father, help us.
Jesus to stay.
Help us, Lord.
We are going above the shadow.
Jesus, my Lord, help us.
Into the presence of God.
Help us, Father. Help us.
Into the presence of
Jesus. We are going higher someday. Hallelujah. We are going
higher. Yes, we are.
Yes, I am.
We are going higher today. We are going higher, yes, we are.
My Lord, going with Jesus to stay.
We are going above the shadow into the presence of God, into the presence of Jesus. We are going higher someday.
Help us, Father, to be faithful unto that day. Let not the world hinder us. Help us not to miss any instruction that you have given to us. Give us the grace to be those who we hear. You have been faithful with the little that I have given you. Now, there's a kingdom. Jesus, my Lord, all these words you speak, even in the midst of America, give us the grace to hear, the ear that hears, the heart that understands. Though the rest of the world may be going north, help us to head south, to be with you. Help us to treasure your name. Help us to shine as light. But I pray that nobody here will be satisfied until they see you. I pray that no garment that by new birth we have put on here will be blemished. The word says that when you call that banquet and you called many in, there was still this one man who did not have the wedding dress on. He said, you are coming for people without wrinkles and stain. Every stain on our garment. Sweet Spirit, be merciful to us. I know we have struggled with you too long, but you are more powerful than us. You are able to overcome every obstacle in us. Give us the grace, O God, to yield to you, Lord. You called us while our hearts were dead in trespasses. Now that we are alive, you are able to sanctify us, O God. Please sanctify us through and through. The things that are attractive in the world, we are all subject to it. Baba, please give us the grace and the strength to overcome it. When people look at us, I pray their testimony of us is that we are one of those despised people who belong to Jesus. And though they speak evil of us, they may observe our good works and give glory to you. Father, please help us to overcome Satan. Every day, it's a struggle. I pray we will rejoice and encourage one another in the true Christian walk, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, O Lord, and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. This is our prayer, Lord. We cannot do it, O Lord. We have no helper of our own. We have no. Whoever has a voice, should please raise that song. Holy Spirit, we look up to you. Help us, we have no helper of our own. We have no. We have no power over. The Spirit, we look up to you. Help us, we have. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. It's nice to be seated. Let's share the grace and fellowship. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,